2 weeks ago in the Torah, our people received the Ten Commandments. It was a direct list of 10 ways to live simply and with intentionality, justice, and kindness. God told us, "I am yours. Don't bow down to idols, things that you make yourself. Don't do things in my name that are not kind. Take time to stop, rest, and enjoy each other. Honor the people who gave you life. Do not murder. Do not steal or speak falsely or want what you don't have." These 10 utterances, these Aseret HaDibrot, serve as guides to keep us strong, to keep us living in community. They are one of Judaism's greatest contributions to humanity, to ethics, to justice, and to goodness. This week in Torah, we receive another 10 utterances, Aseret HaDibrot. This time, these utterances, these words, create a special sanctuary, a palace, to come together, a home for which we can connect in to ourselves, to each other, and to Source. With these 10 utterances, we get these instructions to make a portable, fragile, yet stunning space for us to worship in as we move through the desert. This is called the Mikdash, the holy sanctuary where we can come back as we're schlepping through the desert and remember over and over, there's more than just our hard work and our toil. There's more than just our memories of slavery, our doubts, and Egypt. We are invited then and now to visit this beacon, this Mishkan of hope, to build it with our own hands, our own hearts. Moshe told us to bring trumot, to bring offerings, according to what our heart was moved to bring. It wasn't a shopping list, it was a dream list. We brought gold and silver, copper, yarns of crimson and linen, goat hair, oil and spices, even dolphin skins. We brought so many gifts that Moshe actually finally tells us, "Dai, must speak, it's enough. Slow it down." In this week's Parsha, we get not a cosmic blueprint of the world. We get an earthly blueprint. This Torah portion is an architect's dream to learn of the poles and the overlays, the cubits and dimensions of each piece of this traveling sacred space. Built by invitation and by love, we build it for ourselves, and at the same time, we rebuild ourselves, our sense of partnership with God, our sense of partnership with each other, of co-creating not for Pharaoh, but for our own highest self, our own best self. On Wednesday of this week, Nicholas Cruz committed one of the deadliest shootings in American history, the third mass shooting in just 5 months. According to Jewish tradition, each person, each of us, is actually an olam, an entire world. This week on Wednesday, Nicholas Cruz, a young man of 19, destroyed 17 worlds. Magnificent sanctuaries. Every student and teacher, security guard, staff, and coach at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida is still reeling from this national tragedy. The classmates of those who were killed or injured took immediately to social media and are telling our administration that the world needs more than prayers. They want action. These teens are telling the world that they want action. They are telling us this should not be the new normal, and that there is a difference between freedom and safety. These days, as we watch the brilliance of the world's finest athletes compete in South Korea, we also witness the worst of humanity. A 19-year-old young person who had been reported by the police department some 20 times, who posted on YouTube of his grand plans to be a professional school shooter. Clearly, he needed great support. And instead, he had access and purchased an AR-15 rifle and destroyed 17 worlds, 17 lives, 17 families. We must educate ourselves about gun violence. And our social action team and the community is talking and will continue to talk and plan about what our congregation can do to advocate for effective gun regulation, licensing, and ownership. And that is tomorrow's work. Tonight, we gather to honor these 17 souls and their families and their worlds. We pray also for the transformation and the courage to become more informed, more loving people on the side of justice. It was Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, great theologian, activist, and change agent, who said, "Prayer is meaningless unless it is subversive, unless it seeks to overthrow and ruin the pyramids of callousness, hatred, opportunism, and falsehood. The liturgical movement," he says, "and lived, must be a revolutionary movement seeking to overthrow the forces that continue to destroy the promise, the hope, and the vision." So tonight, I thought we would do some subversive praying. I'd like to call up a dear friend and colleague, Rabbi Chaim Korzynski, who is here with his family, his wife Karen, and their three little ones. That's one of them now. Come on up, dear friend. Rabbi Korzynski and I were blessed to be at the same seminary together in Boston. And Rabbi Korzynski is a shul rabbi up in Palo Alto on vacation, but I got him to do a little avodah, a little prayer tonight. So some elements that are going to make what we're about to do with you, and I hope everybody has one of these small pages. Pull that out and get ready. Some elements that's going to make what we're up to subversive are, we're going to put some skin in the game. And the skin that we're going to put actually comes from this week's Torah portion. It's the pasuk, the verse in our lobbies from the book of Exodus. "Make for me a sanctuary so that I can dwell among you." That's one element. We're taking it straight from the text. Another element is that we're going to pray and daven from our guts, not our heads. So we're going to sing this through a few times, and I invite you to get lost, to really reach your prayers out and up and in and wherever you imagine them needing to go. And to remember that we're in community here. I'm so blessed to have this dear friend next to me, who was a trailblazer, the first ordained class at our school. But really, to pray with people you care about is one of the greatest honors. So we'll sing this through a few times in the Hebrew and the English, and you'll catch on.